Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Growing Spiritual Leaders, from the series Exodus, and shows you how to share God's work with those closest to you to build a strong foundation of faith. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
The greatest news on the planet is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus became incarnate flesh, lived in this world, fulfilled the law, died on a cross, was buried in a grave, paid all the penalty for all the sin of the world, and rose from the dead. He's as alive today as he's ever been, and through repentance and faith, any person, anywhere, at any time, can turn from his or her sins, turn to Christ, and be saved to the full forever and ever. Even better, there's more. God deposits his Holy Spirit in our life and tells us that he will walk with us every single day. And what happens to us is when we are born again and we do come to faith in Christ, there's this desire to know God more intimately. There's this desire to grow. There's this desire to let Jesus live his life through us in a way that we lived apart from him for so many years. So if we come to Christ and we're single, we want to know, what does it look like to be a Christian single? If we're married, we want to know what it looks like to be Christian in our marriage as a Christian husband or a Christian wife. If we're a child, we want to know what it looks like to be a Christian kid or to go to school and be Christian in our school. There's all these different ways. And then we start thinking about all these different areas of our life, like our finances and how we handle stress and what we do and what the Bible has to say about that. And in case the Bible, which is replete with all sorts of information about that, is not good enough for you, the bookstores or Amazon are filled with books about every little detail about how you can live your life to the full as a Christian. So there's books on marriage, and there's books on parenting, and there's books on how to study the scripture, and there's books on prayer, and there's all these how-to books that sometimes, even as someone who wants to go and grow in Christ, it can be overwhelming. You can read all sorts of books about parenting only to realize I'm still not great at this. Or all sorts of books on your finances and realize I'm still not so great at this. Or all the books upon whatever it is and realize I'm still not so great at it. Or how about one step further? The gospel's great news. How do I share it? What does it look like? Or if I do share it, then how could God actually use me to grow someone else up in the faith that's actually living out all the principles God wants them to live out? Because when Jesus commissioned us, what did he tell us? Go into all the world and do what? Make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and doing what? Teaching them to obey everything that I have told you. So one of our responsibilities is to teach people how to live everything that Jesus Christ taught. And he said, I'll be with you always till the end of the age. Doesn't that feel a little bit overwhelming? And there's leadership conferences. There's all sorts of things that we can go to and learn how to be a better leader. But I find for many Christians that genuinely love the Lord, when it comes to certain aspects of their life, no matter how hard they try, they feel overwhelmed. And their voice goes off in their head that says this, you'll never be any good at this Christian thing. You'll never be a good disciple, or you'll never be good at sharing the gospel. You're never gonna have a great marriage. You're never gonna be a great parent. Just endure and get through, and one day you'll be in glory. And if you've ever felt like that, I believe God has a word for you. I want you to know this morning that when God saved you, he set you apart. He filled you with his Spirit because he has purpose for your life for which you can fulfill. And he actually believes that he can do a great work through you if you let him. And today we're going to talk about how you grow as a leader in Christ and how you can grow other spiritual leaders in Christ. Because something deep down in us as we begin to grow in Christ causes us to say, well, I want to see other people experience this. I want them to grow in Christ. And if you've ever had a desire to grow in Christ or teach others how to grow, God has a word for you today. I want you to open your Bibles up to Exodus chapter 18. We're back in the book of Exodus today. We haven't been there all year, believe it or not. And as we left off, you'll remember that what's gone on is God appointed Moses from the time he was a young boy. Moses grew up in the household of Pharaoh, ended up murdering an Egyptian, so he fled to Midian. In Midian, he meets God at a burning bush that was being on fire, but it was not being consumed. He said, this is a curious sight. He goes to the bush. God speaks to him, calls him to be the deliverer of his people, Israel, from Egypt. So Moses goes at the age of 80. He goes to deliver the people. Moses performs 10 massive plagues. Pharaoh ultimately lets him go. When they get out into the wilderness, they're trapped. So God protects them with his pillar of fire and his cloud as he parts the Red Sea. All the Israelites cross. And when the Egyptian army goes in after them, the waters close on them. And that's the end of the leadership in Israel. Israel celebrates. Israel's going crazy. It's a great day. They worship the Lord, and that lasts for about a day or two. Because about day three, they're like, we don't have any water. God provides water. We don't have any bread. God provides manna. We want meat. God provides quail. God provides everything they need. And then when battle time happens and the Amalekites show up, God has Moses stand on a hill and keep his hands up above his head. And as long as Aaron and Hur hold his arms up, Joshua and all Israel is fighting. And so they've learned that even winning battles is dependent upon the Lord. And now we come here. Now we come to this section where everybody's going to begin to get reunited. And what does it look like for us to grow spiritually? And how can we grow spiritual leaders? And the first way is this. We grow spiritual leaders when we do this, the first and foremost, when we share and celebrate God's work with our family. When we share and celebrate God's work with our family. Listen to the text. It says, now Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife Zipporah after he had sent her away, and her two sons, of whom one was named Gershom, for Moses said, I've been a sojourner in a foreign land. The other was named Eleazar, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness where he was camped at the Mount of God. That's Mount Sinai. He sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, I'm coming to you with your wife and her two sons. Then Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he bowed down and kissed them, and they asked each other of their welfare and went into the tent. So check out what's going on. Moses has sent his wife Zipporah and his two sons back. Because for a period of month, Moses is going to go to Egypt. There's going to be a lot going on. The Bible doesn't give us the reason as to why Moses did that. We don't know why, but one of the main responsibilities of a husband is to protect your family. Seemingly, he sent his wife and sons back saying, I'm going into Egypt. I don't know how this is going to go. It's safer for you to stay with your father-in-law or your father, my father-in-law, safer for you to stay with grandpa. That's where you're going back. So now the word has spread to Jethro. Now think about this. How did word spread back then? There were no newscasts. There was no social media. The only way that word got around was by word of mouth. So guess what? When God does great things, everybody begins to hear about it. Everybody begins to learn. So Jethro has now learned not only what God has done, but Jethro has learned that Moses is back at Mount Sinai, which is really where he's from, because God promised him early on at the burning bush, you're going to deliver the people and come back and worship here. Jethro knows he's back. So he sends notice. I'm going to bring your two sons and your wife. I'm bringing them to you. And when Moses meets his father-in-law, Jethro, what happens? There's reverence, there's bowing down, there's greeting, there's kissing. Had Moses kicked his wife out and sent her back to his father with his two kids, I don't know that there would have been a great celebration when they got back together, right? Dads, are you agree with me? So here's what happens. They come and they come back together. And what's going on now? Moses is going to spend time with the most important unit in his life, which is his family. When it comes to leadership, the most important thing you can do is share and celebrate God's work with your family. Now, notice what's going to happen. They're going to go into the tent. What are they going to do when they get in the tent? They're going to share stories. They're going to laugh together. They're going to talk together. They're going to discuss everything that's been going on in all that the Lord has done in their lives. Listen to me. When it comes to growing spiritual leaders, the number one way that you can grow spiritual leaders is to prioritize your family. I'm going to say it again because some of you didn't hear me. You're like, move on to point number two. I thought we were going to grow me as a leader. I am. For God's kingdom agenda, I don't care what vocation you are. I don't care if you're in the business world, the sports world, the entertainment industry, wherever you are. If you want to grow with God, you prioritize the things God wants prioritized. And God created the family. Let me define family for you, because nobody in our world seems to be able to define it very clearly. A family is a husband who is a man that is married to a woman who is a woman, and they are together, okay? And if the Lord wills, you have children. That is a family biblically, okay? That's what it is. And it's the most important unit, which is why there's attack against the family. And I'm not just talking about people that speak bad about family. I'm talking about Christian men who don't prioritize their family.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Growing Spiritual Leaders, from the series Exodus, showing you how to share God's work with those closest to you to build a strong foundation of faith. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
And I'm not just talking about people that speak bad about family. I'm talking about Christian men who don't prioritize their family, who don't put their wives and their family first, who don't pray for them and provide for them and protect for them. That is your number one responsibility if you want to do anything significant for the kingdom. I'm telling you, oftentimes for me, when I'm hanging out with people and I'm hanging out with guys and I'm in my mind like, is this a person I want to hang out with more or less? I'm listening to them because I want to hear them talk about their wives and their kids and what they do to love, provide, pray, and protect them. And as that is escalating or there's a desire for that, I think I can hang out with this. When I don't hear that, I'm like, this is not the kind of person I want to spend a lot of time with. Because spiritually, what you're going to answer for spiritually, if you want to grow muscle, it's there. It's in your family. You say, well, I'm single, Pastor Jeff. Well, you may be in a family. Honor your mother and father in your family, or prepare for the family that God is going to bring you. Be the right person God wants you to be. Why? Because the family is so important to God. So Jethro brings Zipporah, brings his two sons that he has named into the tent. And notice verse 8. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptian for Israel's sake, all the hardships that had befallen them on the journey, and how the Lord had delivered them. So what are they talking about? They're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Sometimes when we come into church, we think that in an hour, hour and a half, we can just talk about the glories of God and everything's going to be great. And if I'm a Christian, everything's supposed to be great all the time. And it's supposed to be so supernaturally exciting all the time. So our marriage is supposed to be like at a level 10 all the time. Our kids are at a level 10 all the time. Our business is at a level 10 all the time. Our marriage is at a level 10 all the time. And we come together, even in groups or when we gather as a church, and we think there's something wrong if something's not right. The Christian life isn't lived like that. Did God do some incredible things in Egypt through Moses? He did incredible things. And they were sharing all those things. Our God's powerful. Our God delivers. Can you imagine them telling that story? I mean, Moses was probably like, you know, I first got there and it wasn't going well. And God told me to drop my staff. So I dropped my staff and it turned into a snake. And then after it turned into a snake, their magicians did that. They had two snakes, but my snake ate their snake. It was so bomb. It was awesome. I mean, then he was telling stories about, and then he told me to reach out my staff and it touched the Nile and it became blood and nobody could drink anything, which was really hard and it stunk. And I mean, he went through all the stories. There were amazing things, but there were also hard things that had befallen them too, weren't there? There was the Egyptian army that was chasing them and they didn't know what was going to happen. There was the Red Sea that parted, and if it hadn't parted, they wouldn't have lived. And then even after God destroyed Egypt, guess what happened? They were without water, and they were without food, and they were without meat. And, you know, he had talked about all the complaining that the people had done. And then they went to battle, and they weren't battle ready, and all the hard things. See, when you tell a story about your walk with Christ, you can tell your story about all the amazing things God's done, and you can tell the story about all the hard times you've gone through. And then there's that middle ground, too, isn't there, where we spend a lot of our time, which is just, it's not great right now. It's not bad. It's just kind of there. And isn't that what our Christian walk is like? Our Christian life is a walk that sometimes is experiencing supernatural, miraculous moves of God. Other times, incredibly hard times where we're enduring and trying to persevere. And other times where there's really nothing exciting or hard. It's just, I'm living my life. I'm being obedient to the Lord right now. Moses is sharing all those things. They're talking about all those things. You know why it's important? So their kids, his boys, can hear all those things. Because our children and the next generation, y'all need to hear these things. That sometimes when you walk with God, he does supernatural, miraculous things. And sometimes when you're walking with God, you're gonna have to persevere and endure really challenging things. And sometimes when you're walking with God, there's really no excitement at all. You're just going and doing the thing that's next to do because it's the right thing. And it just doesn't feel all that exciting at all. That's the Christian life. That's what it looks like to walk. And Moses is telling Jethro all these things. So notice what happens next. Jethro, who's a priest of Midian, started rejoicing. This is the celebration. Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, notice his testimony, "Blessed be the Lord," that's Yahweh, "who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." Listen to his personal testimony, verse 11. "Now I know that the Lord, that Yahweh is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven when they dealt proudly against the people." So what is Jethro doing? Jethro's realizing because of who his son-in-law is and because of what God has done through his son-in-law, that even though he's a priest in Midian, I know this, your God's the God of the universe. What I know is that your God's more powerful. Here's how I know, because I've seen your God at work. In other words, Moses, you took a step of faith, you believed what God was gonna do, and as he worked through you, I saw God do it. When you take a step of faith and when you begin to walk with God, it's not just for you to grow your faith in God, it's for others to see as you grow your faith in God that the God that you say you believe in is actually the living God. So I don't be afraid to take a step of faith. God wants you to grow. And then notice what they do next. They have a meal together. They're going to offer sacrifices to God. It says verse 12, "Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering," that's an offering for sin, "and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law before God." That's a fellowship offering, right? They ate a meal together. They're cooking out. They're having a barbecue, right? They're going to celebrate all that the Lord has done. They're going to offer him praise. They're going to offer him sacrifice. They're going to eat together. And guess who's going to be there for all of this? Moses' wife and two boys. And they're going to get to see their dad worship the living God. They're going to get to see their dad talk about all the good that God did. They're going to get to hear their dad talk about all the difficult times they've been through. And they're going to get to hear their dad talking about all the mundane. But in it all, what they're gonna see is that God is worthy of being praised, God is worthy of being glorified, and he's the only God in the universe, and let's celebrate him together. That's what's going on here. If you want to grow spiritually, if you wanna have kingdom impact for the long term, prioritize your family. Prioritize your family. Single guys, listen to me. If you're called to be single or you're called to be celibate, fine. I've met two in my life that have been called to be celibate. That I really believe are called to be celibate. Most guys aren't. If not, get right with the Lord and go pick a wife and get married and start a family. You need to. Prioritize your family. Family is what's important. Family is what God blesses. That's what God wants. He blesses the family. We're called to focus on the family. You can't do this without your family. You say, well, how do I include my family? What does that look like? I'm glad you asked. And I'm sharing this with you, not because I do this perfectly, but I do this increasingly. During the season of prayer and fasting, here's what I encourage you to do. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your spouse. What that means is that you get together and you pray out loud together as a couple. I know many Christian couples that love the Lord that have a really hard time praying together. And ladies, let me just explain something to you. Sometimes this is understandable because sometimes you ladies are a little more skilled in prayer and you have more flowery language and you do all this stuff and you pray this incredible prayer and then your husband's sitting there and he's like, "Lord, help," you know? I don't know what to say. I mean, I agree. I echo that prayer, right? Here's what I'd encourage you to do. Husbands, tell your wives, "I wanna pray with you. I'm just not good at it yet. Why don't you tell me what I can pray for and I'll pray for you." And husbands, why not put your hand on your wife's shoulder, on her head and say, "If this is what you're doing today, I'm gonna ask God to bless those three things." And wives, pray for your husbands. There's something special that goes on when you start praying with somebody. There's a knitting that takes place. There's a cementing that takes place. There's a growing that takes place when you do that. when you know each other's heart and you're praying for and with each other, and you can follow up at the end of the day and do that. Now, if you've never prayed together with your spouse, it may feel a little awkward at first. I get that. But don't let that stop you from doing that. And if you do pray with your spouse, pray more increasingly in it and be more attentive to how you need to pray and what you can be praying for. You'll see God show up in special ways. Pray with your spouse. How about this? Pray with your kids. Pray with your kids. Pray over your kids. Know what's going on in their heart. Be praying for the specific things that they're telling you that they need and then the things that you see that they need. And asking God to do something. Because when we pray, here's what we're saying. I can't do this without you. I need your help in this area. I'm demonstrating my dependence upon the Lord. That's what it looks like. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your kids. If you're single, you're like, well, who would I pray with? Grab somebody else and pray with them. And just say, Lord, I want to become this. This is some of my desires. This is my heart. This is where I want to go. Get with somebody that you trust and pray with one another and pray for one another. And then as you do that, you can celebrate what God's doing in your family. Celebrate. When I say celebrate, here's what I mean. You can talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly about what's going on in your life. Let your kids see it. Let your spouse see it. You don't need to protect everybody from everything. Like, share with them. This is going really, really well. Share with them. This is extremely difficult. Share with them. I'm kind of in that dry space. Let them know that it's okay, right? Parents, it's okay for your kids to have questions. It's okay for your kids not to be where you are spiritually. Remember where you were when you were their age. Before I became a pastor, I had the privilege of traveling around doing evangelism, and so I spoke at lots of different churches, met lots of different pastors, and met lots of different pastors' kids. And one of the things my wife and I would talk about are, aren't we glad that we're not pastors so we don't have to have pastors' kids? Because sometimes pastors' kids feel like they got to measure up to everybody in the church. And so when I told Kim, God's calling me to be a pastor, that was one of the things that went off in her heart. Like, I don't want that pressure for my kids. And we've tried our best not to have that. So it's okay for my kids to have doubts. It's okay for my kids not to believe everything that I believe. It's okay for them to explore and press back and question things, right? That's okay. It's okay for your kids too. That's how we learn. That's how we learn. Here's the problem. One of the problems we have when we talk about family is we have this false idea of what family is if you're a Christian. Somebody's painted some picture in our mind of some false family that's perfect all the time, where the husband and the wife live perfectly, happily ever after, and all the kids are perfect, and everybody's perfect, and they come to church, and they sit together, and they're perfect, and we wonder, why is my life not like that? Well, because their life's not like that. And sometimes when people post on Instagram, not always, but sometimes when they're posting their great pictures on Instagram and, oh, our beautiful family this and or that, they're not telling you what's really going on. And they're posting because of their own insecurities that they don't want you to see. Everybody's family's a little bit messed up. Everybody's family has hardship. Everybody's family's going through it at different times. My family does, and so does yours. So it's not how do you have the perfect family, it's how do you prioritize Christ in your family as you're continuing to grow. Amen? And we can do that. We can do that. Wives, you don't have to elbow your husbands. They heard me. They're going to pray with you, okay? But it's okay to talk about your doubts, and it's okay to talk about your fears. It's okay to talk about your anxieties. But if you're going to grow as a leader, if you're going to multiply leaders, you're going to do things, share and celebrate God's work with your family. Amen? Number two is this. When it comes to growing spiritual leaders, we grow spiritual leaders when we stay humble and we welcome wisdom. When we stay humble and welcome wisdom. So notice this, Jethro's brought Zipporah, Moses' wife back, his two grandsons, Moses' sons, brought them together. They've all been celebrating. They've all been rejoicing in what the Lord's done. Jethro has said, your God is God. I've heard all about it. Now notice verse 13. It came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from morning until evening. Now when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this thing you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge and all the people stand about you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, it comes to me and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God and his laws.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Growing Spiritual Leaders, from the series Exodus, showing you how to share God's work with those closest to you to build a strong foundation of faith. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.